When Chris Herren played basketball for the Boston Celtics, he would come out into the parking lot of Boston Garden in his warm-up clothes to pick up a delivery of OxyContin. Then he'd go back in and play.
That's just one detail from Herren's extraordinary story. Chris Herren was an All-American high school basketball star from Fall River who shot to the top of the American sports dream, all the way to the NBA.
But along the way, he crashed into a wall of drug addiction that ended his career and very nearly killed him. Herren writes about all this in his memoir, Basketball Junkie, which came out last spring. And now he's the subject of a new documentary on ESPN called Unguarded.
Stepped on campus at Boston College. Sports Illustrated comes into town, does a big two-page piece on me. Big East is back. Me, Ray Allen, Allen Iverson, and Felipe Lopez. 2 weeks later, I'm on campus. I open my dorm room, and there's two young girls sitting in my dorm room with my roommate chopping up lines of cocaine. The two girls in that dorm room said, Chris, just come sit down. It's no big deal. It's not going to hurt you. That day, I sat down with those girls and decided to do my first line of cocaine at 18 years old. Opened doors for me that I was not able to close for the next 15 years.
Because of his drug addiction, Herren flamed out of the NBA and ended up in Europe, where he continued to play basketball and to feed a heroin addiction. Chris Herren is out of the game now, and he's clean and has been so for the past 3 years. And he joins us here in the studio. And welcome to Radio Boston, Chris Herren. It's a great pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, in your book, Basketball Junkie, which you co-wrote with Bill Reynolds, and in this new documentary, you really put your story out there. And it's quite a story, warts and all, your rise, your drug addiction, your crash, painful stuff. Why did you want to put it out there like that?
Well, I mean, I think it would be easy for me to never look back and never acknowledge who I was over the last 10 years of my life and what I had went through, you know, and just move forward in a life of sobriety and recovery. But I think it's important to share that story with the youth of today, with future, not only just athletes, but kids who are coming up in this world, whether it be in high school or college. And to hopefully inspire somebody to not go through what I went through and to take a different road, or to inspire somebody to get out of, you know, the hole that they're digging in.
Mm. I want to just get a sense from you because it's fascinating to read, and it's absolutely germane to what you're talking about here. How low you fell. You were making $450,000 a year at one point as a Boston Celtic. You got to the point where you were penniless. Mm-hmm. You'd lost your career. You'd overdosed several times. You were arrested. But what was the absolute low point in that journey?
You know, it's amazing. You know, I've been on this little tour doing this for about 9 months, and everybody starts off the conversation with, you were making $450,000. You lost your career. My man, I almost lost my kids.
Yeah.
Let's start with that first. You know what I mean? $450,000, who cares about that? Mm. Who cares about playing basketball? I mean, I almost lost my wife and children. Basketball and my career for the Boston Celtics should be the last thing talked about. Mm. The consequences of drug addiction and the ramifications of what you can lose in that world are, you know, three little babies that I had. And now today, because of sobriety, I am their father.
Right.
And a husband. So,
Chris, on that subject, let me read, if I could, just a section in Basketball Junkie that you wrote about what you went through when mm-hmm. you were hooked on the dope, on the heroin, just to get your kids to school. This is a very, very brief paragraph. Sometimes I couldn't wait to put Samantha on the bus to get my dope because I was getting too sick. So I'd put her in the back seat and speed to go meet a dealer in Fall River. I'd make the buy and shoot up in the car while I was driving, Samantha still in the back seat. How could I have done this? People ask me that all the time. How could you shoot up with your daughter in the back seat? They can't believe it. Not surprising, I can't believe it either. So that's what you're talking about almost losing your kids.
Well, no, I wouldn't be talking. I mean, I'm talking about the relationship with my kids.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, not losing my kids in that moment, but never, ever going back to being their father. And I almost lost that many times.
Yeah.
So for me, the career is secondary. The Boston Celtics is irrelevant. It's about regaining a family, love, and my children back in my life. I think that's the ultimate story. Mm. I think if anybody who watches Unguarded or reads the book, you know, I think you've missed the message if you're worried about Chris Herren losing his career.
Right. So how did you do that, though? How did you regain the family? How did you?
One day at a time, my man.
Yeah.
Just one day at a time. You know, one day turns into two, two turns into three. And
the support of a pretty amazing wife.
Of course. But you know, my amends to my loved ones and my family is living one day at a time and living a sober life. I think that is the best way to do it. You know, it's...
So is that the answer to one of the questions I wanted to ask you just about how you're doing now? We said you've been clean for 3 years, but you don't take that for granted. I mean, it's one day at a time.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
It's a great way to live. Most people should.
You're running a basketball kids school for kids in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, I understand. You spend a lot of time talking to high school kids about your story. And there's a clip in the documentary Unguarded that I want to play in which you're delivering your message to a group of kids who seem spellbound by what you have to say. And so let's just listen to this for just a few seconds.
I remember getting called to assemblies like this to listen to some 35-year-old man talk to me about substance abuse. And I remember saying to myself, I'll never be that guy. Big time basketball players, been in Rolling Stone magazine, Sports Illustrated, NBA, Boston Celtics, Denver Nuggets. And I'm on a street corner hawking jewelry. I've had 4 overdoses. I have 7 felonies on my record that I... In 1994, I had that opportunity to sit in a gymnasium like this and pay attention. And today I would give anything to get back to 1994. And listen.
So that's obviously a very, very strong message. What do you want kids to hear there? At one point in the movie, you say it's not a typical motivational speech that you give. If there's one thing that you want to pound into their heads when you go and talk to them, what are you telling them?
Well, I tell, it depends, obviously, what age groups.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm speaking to high school kids, I ask them, you know, to be good to themselves, to love themselves for who they are. They don't need to change who they are by putting substances in their body to fit in. You know, in this Unguarded, I spoke at West Point, so the speech would be delivered differently. But for kids who are in high school, I think peer pressure is tough. I think kids are trying to find their way, and sometimes it's easy to follow. So when I get out there and I try to explain to them that I'd give anything to go back to 1994 and pay attention, I mean it.
Mm. I wanted to, if you could, just to take us back to your days in Fall River. You're a high school star, a McDonald's All-American. A bunch of major colleges are trying to recruit you. Is that where the trouble begins?
I mean,
is it the pressure?
Sure. I think it all plays into it. You know, I think, when you're 14 years old and you look in the stands and you have grown men taking notes on you all day long, you know, that's kind of odd. But, you know, it's some kids deal with it better than others. The way I dealt with it was my vision of normalcy would be, you know, to go to keg parties and drink on Friday and Saturday nights. And when I was done with basketball games, that's how I dealt with it. I escaped by doing that. You know, which obviously set me up for you know, what I was going to end up in the future. You know, those decisions I made at 14, 15, 16 years old stayed with me until, you know, I got sober at 32.
Mm. So I'm interested, when you talk to kids and when you're running a basketball school for kids, is there sort of a message about the sports culture, the culture of sports, that you want them to understand that maybe, you know, you didn't benefit from when you were their age?
You know, that Hoop Dreams is a company that I started 2.5 years ago, and it's so much more than basketball. You know, for basketball players, most end at 18 if they're lucky, you know, playing for their high school basketball team. So what it's about for me is to teach kids to care about themselves, to love themselves, to have confidence, self-esteem. You don't have to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if you're the worst? Just come back, smile, be happy, enjoy it. You know, the best players in the world, their career is over at 34. You have the rest of your life to live.
So rather than the dream of the big paycheck, it's about the dream of who you can be, it sounds like.
Well, the big paycheck's, you know, when you can look yourself in a mirror.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big paycheck.
Yeah. I want to ask you, too, just there's a lot more that I wanted to ask you, but our time is running short. You get to B.C., you know, we heard that clip where you take cocaine for the first time and the problem with drugs really begins. And then there's Jerry Tarkanian out at Fresno State urging you to come play for him. How did things go out there? I mean, what was the culture like out there?
Culture was great. I mean, Fresno State was great. The people were great. They were extremely supportive of me. I'm forever grateful for that community. I had a lot of ups and I've had a lot of downs there, and they were supportive, very supportive in both. So I'll be forever grateful for them. You know, one thing I figured out through sobriety, and I figured it out pretty hard. I was playing in Tehran, Iran, and everyone always told me to stay away from my old neighborhood. You know, stay away from Fall River. Don't go back to Boston. You know, and there I was in Tehran, Iran, getting high by myself in a hotel room. Hmm. Every country I went to, Italy, Beijing, Warsaw, Tehran, Istanbul, I got high. Had nothing to do with Fall River. Once I figured myself out, I can be anywhere.
Well, Chris Herron, it's an amazing story. I'm glad to see you looking so well. Congratulations. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Chris Herron used to play for the Boston Celtics. His book is Basketball Junkie, which he co-wrote with Bill Reynolds, and he's the subject of a new ESPN documentary, Unguarded, which will air on ESPN2 on Christmas Eve at 10 p.m.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, the USDA has done away with the food pyramid, and now we have My Plate. But do the nutritional recommendations really match what's on your plate? That's tomorrow.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.